Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to have Grandmother Sasa back in the studio with me to continue our conversation about the challenging things that we're experiencing right now. So welcome to the show, Grandmother.
Welcome. I'm honored to be back to share the wisdom of the people. And I always begin with a prayer that Grandmother Nakai Breen passed to all of us. And as Grandfather Chief above the heavenly stars, hear our humble prayer, O Great One. You are the giver of life and everything that comes with it. I'm but a small blade of grass in the vastness of Mother Earth. I ask for your guidance and clearness of vision so I can see the beauty that you have created for us. Bless my hands, O Great One, so that I can bring a lot of healing back to the people at this time of need. I ask that we can all come together at this time so that we can find the peace and healing of this Mother Earth that we so do desire at this time. I ask us to plant that seed of life so that we can grow and become one with each other once again, I hope.
Thank you. And I'd like to read something that Grandmother Sasa, that you posted on Facebook, and it is called The Prophecy of the Eighth Fire by the Anishinaabe Prophecy, or is an Anishinaabe prophecy. And it reads this way. They will come to a fork in the road. One road will lead to materialism and destruction for almost all living creatures. The other road will lead to a spiritual way upon which the native people will be standing. This path will lead to the lighting of the eighth fire, a period of eternal peace, harmony, and a new earth where the destruction of the past will be healed.
I think on this walk of the red road for the people, it said that in the prophecies of time that the red people would come back in a good way, to bring the peace and tranquility that we so do desire. We have become such a fast world that we haven't slowed down and taken time, especially with our children. We need to work. We need those things, but something has to be given up, and sometimes our children pay for that price. And I think at this time, with us being within our family, nurturing us, coming to our table to bring the circle back around once again, and to be able to talk about things, that this pause that we're having in our life to have us be grounded once again and flourish in such a beautiful way if we come together. Mother Earth has been crying for a long time, and she's been asking for all of us to listen, just listen. Take that moment and time, and this is what is being given to us. We can't allow the fear to shut us down. We have to remember that we've had these times throughout history many times, and each time we've been given a time to regain and find the strength within us all, without fear, without greed, without jealousies and pettiness. So it's a time to come with a peace to the people. And the elders, the grandmothers, the grandfathers are coming out. They're speaking. They have been for a long time, but a lot of people weren't listening. Now is the time to stop. Think of some of these words that have been given in time to us, these prayers. When fear comes up, I always go to prayer. Pray for the people. Those are the ones that call out, and they have forgotten. It's a time to remember what we have been given from our ancestors, the seven generations behind us. How did they make it? How did they walk through this walk? We need more gentleness and love and passion and compassion to come back so that we can understand. This morning, a bird landed on the sill and gave us a song. How many times have we ignored the bird? But this time, looking at it, the song that it sang for us for this day, that is the beauty. That is the beauty walk that we have forgotten.
Yes, and thank you for that. As we've been able to spend the last week or so together, it's been such a beautiful and continuous learning and teaching and opening up to so much information. And as we've been sitting at the dining room table or the kitchen table, watching the birds come and go and the messages that they're sharing. And we have so much to learn because we have been taught to ignore. So we have been taught to be ignorant, even though we don't realize that is what has happened. And just marveling this morning very early before the sun came up, just standing outside at my home and listening to the sound of the birds rather than the sound of the roar of the cars going by. And such a beautiful symphony that they were singing. And we forget that they're actually singing to us, with us, for us. They're singing to the living, other living beings there, of which we are part. So, Grandmother Sasa, I would like to ask you, you know, so many people, we've had the privilege of talking to so many people around the world over the phone in the last week or so, and many having tremendous challenges, but many being at peace, but many being in fear. And how do we help people understand what that fear is doing to them and why they need to let that fear just subside so that they too can be healthier?
When I was a child, my grandfolks took me to the mountain for a walk, and they said, go ahead. Run up above us. We'll watch. There's someone always watching over you. Don't be afraid. And so running ahead, I could see the view of all of the fall leaves that had been falling and the beauty that we miss when we don't take the time and walk ahead. When fear comes up, what is it within ourselves that we are really fearing? Is it ourselves? You know, it's a way that Creator has given us to stop, look, listen, think about what you're doing. If we, our vibral core, which is our sonar over our belly area, shows us that, then we stop. Pay attention. What is it that we're supposed to be in danger maybe of, or we're fearing that we don't have the strength to move ahead? Well, they taught me the strength that I had by allowing me to run ahead, looking, seeing all the beauty that was in front of me, but also if that moose came ahead or a bear, not to be afraid of it, stop in your tracks and look. What is that animal or that person or whatever has brought before us is showing us? And it's usually our doubt. It's our sense we don't know what that is there. And isn't a virus something that we don't know? We can't see it, but we're told that it's out here. But my feelings is I put my spiritual shield on, and I'm not going to fear it. I'm going to look at it and try to understand it and why it has come. And the spirit of Creator and the divine has come and said, we have to quiet ourselves. Mother Earth is crying out, trying to tell us, stop. And we keep fracking. We keep digging at her. We're polluting her. And all of it has come to a cost that all of us have to stop and have a quiet time to really look and focus for the seven generations in front of us. Do we want something left for our children and our grandchildren? How do we help them? We help them by teaching them. If you make cedar tea at this time, if you feel a cold or anything coming in, you make the cedar tea, you go to that tree, you leave your tobacco, and you ask the spirit of that if it would help you. So you pick the cedar, you bring it in, you thank the water spirits for giving you the crystal, liquid crystal that we're using, and we make our medicine, and then we all have a cup of it in the family here to help us, aid us, assist us.
Would you share how to properly make it, please?
First, I find my cedar tree, and I lay tobacco to ask that spirit if it would give up its life for me to make the medicine. I pick only what I need, no more. It's usually a handful that I have, and I'll come in with a pan of water and look at it. It may be quite a large pot, a quart or more, and put that in, and I boil it for 3 minutes, shut it down, put a cover on, let it steep. When it's done, it's a beautiful golden color.
Steeps for about 20 minutes. Excuse me, steeps for about 20 minutes?
Probably 20 minutes. You know, I lift the cover and see what color it is, mm-hmm. and how strong I want it, and what is happening around me. I've used real strong tea now because I feel with what is out here, we want to assist ourselves and help ourselves in protecting. And so by drinking that, you have a cup, maybe two a day. I've used it for a week, and now I will rest with it and give it time to work within me and know that you shouldn't overuse it like any medicine. Think about, you know, if you're sick or if you're coming down with something, it's there. It's always been there. And I think what we have forgotten is we think we have to run to the drugstore. No, we have everything within our yard to help us, aid us, assist us, but we have forgotten it. So what we're doing to remember again is to use these things. Another thing that has always been shown to me by my grandmother is a teaspoon of baking soda in water for the alkalinity to break it up within our system, because it's going to switch one way or the other. So taking that for a few days to see how it assists us and stuff in our colds and
in warm water.
In warm water.
And then, Grandmother Sasa, I just would like to remind people that when they're done with that cedar tea, that you don't throw those leaves into the trash can.
Right.
You take it back to the earth and you thank the earth so that it can decompose and become part of what we need. So thank you for that. And I think that when you were talking about fear earlier, is people have a tendency, when they're fearful, that emotion can easily switch into anger.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be careful that we don't allow that to happen. And what am I meant to learn here? What is life trying to teach me? Mm-hmm. So that we have such a mindset, especially in the Western world, that if I'm afraid, then I have the right to be angry. And that is not necessarily equal. Fear is a cautionary thing. Anger is a choice. So we have to remember that and how that affects us physiologically.
One of the things that my grandfolks, act or react? How are you going to act? Are you going to be fearful of it? Or are you going to make peace with it and walk ahead with it? And I would walk in the journey of why am I afraid of something? I shouldn't be. It's because I listen to the outside world sometimes and I bring it into my house. I bring it into, we watch the TV. And some of it is so far out there in common sense. Of course, any virus, we're going to pay attention. Anybody that had, when you go back over the centuries, plague or any of it, we learned. You know, my grandmother always told me, a cap full of bleach and soapy water, hot soapy water, will clear anything. They were never sick. They cleaned with it. They took care of it. We've gone frantic over a lot of things. And when we have it right in our cupboards, a cap of bleach with soapy hot water cleaning our things down has always been for years. Why do we think we have to have wipes and everything? Sometimes we're overcleaning, and then we don't have the resistance within ourselves because we've killed it.
We make bacteria resistant. One of the things I'd like to get back to, because as we've had conversations with people and our personal conversations, so much of what people are afraid of is looking at themselves, looking at their own story, looking at those things that they have created stories about their own lives, or they have pushed things aside and buried things aside that really need to be looked at, often from our childhood, or and that don't get buried truly. We bring it forward with us. So I think that one of the things that's so beautiful, since both you and I have had experiences working in hospice, the things that people say as we come closer to death, and here we're surrounded by the potential or the possibility of death without realizing we're all going to die. But how do we want to live is the more important question. You know, it's not how are we going to die. When we die, we die, and we're actually free. But how are we going to live? Are we going to live with open hearts? Are we going to live with inclusion? Are we going to live with forgiveness of things that have happened? And we, in our time right now, we have to be very careful not to just point fingers. We need to say, we are, as a human society, are responsible because we knowingly or unknowingly have allowed things to occur that should not have occurred. We have stayed silent when we should not stay silent. There is, we know about human trafficking. We know about abuse. We know about corruption. And it is not normal. It is common. And we have to understand the difference between what we have normalized and what is common that we allow to be present. We're given an opportunity now to see that the world is workable. Mother Earth makes everything workable, everything renewable, everything sustainable, if we don't get in the way.
I think the walk of peace, compassion, and love for humankind can be made. And I think that on our walk that where we are at now, we know it has fallen. The prophecy speaks that we will all fall down there. It has in the past because people have not listened. You know, when we stuff our fears of what has happened to us working in hospice, I always said it was a secret at the core. And what I have heard in life in those people, if I haven't learned anything, is what they had shared with me, I always thought, that is all that's in there, and this is what it came to. But it was a teaching and a lesson, and the people, we sing them out in a good way so that they can come back at another time. You know, how many times has it taken our soul to come back here at this time to understand we can't keep doing the things we do? You know, why can't we all love each other? What does color, what does race, what does all of these things mean? To me, having people of all colors of man, races of mankind, I want to know what your history is. I want to understand who you are. I love you, but why don't some people like you? We don't understand that. For myself, being part Japanese, it's a very hard situation what I see out here coming up, and what I have heard from many people across the country blaming the Asian race for what is happening. How can we blame that? We really don't know where it came from. We think we do, but do we really know? No. Is it a man-made thing? Yes. You know, it's out here to scare all of us, and for whatever reason, it has happened hundreds of times before, man-made things. But it's a time that this hate has to go away, and people have to embrace each other. And I think that the embrace is holding our neighbors, holding people around us that we didn't get to know. Why did we fear them because of their color? You know, that never has made sense to me. Being Abenaki, Scottish, Irish, and Japanese, I have a mixture. And to me, that has been the beauty of my life. As hard as some of it has been, I would never have given this up to walk this path because it's a time of love. The one thing I've always done is love, no matter what. How cruel people could be, I would still love them. That's the way I was taught by my mother, my grandfolks. We can't change somebody, but we can show them love. Maybe they never got it. Maybe they never learned it. But this is the time to embrace each other, be kind, not put more fear in to shut us all down. We have to open our hearts up and life up to the Creator, to the Divine Mother, because they're here to help us. If we believe in anything, it's believing in prayer right now. We can change. If we all sit at certain times and come together in prayer, that changes things bigger than anything. If you could see through my eyes the fingers of light that comes down from Creator when people are praying, it's one of the first things in my life. The pink rays of life are the mothers. We are the givers of life. Our children mean the world to us. And in it, we can see it. There's a possibility of many things spiritually coming to us if we come together once again.
You know, I'd also like to talk about some of the other work that I've been privileged to be a part of, in particular Cares of Farmington Hills. I'm on the board of that wonderful organization, and we have grown from feeding 135 families to now close to 750 families and exceeding that. And just yesterday, myself and about a dozen other people, we were gathering together food that will be distributed. So for those of you who are thinking about what can I do, now? You know, help organizations that are helping others, like Cares of Farmington Hills. So if you would go to caresfh.org, or also go to Grandmother Sasa's website, theroseandtheswan.com, you know, where she has a beautiful healing center in West Ossipee, New Hampshire, for healing healers. So people that are doing global work, people that are working to help others, need also have that compassion and understanding of what they're going through so that they can go out in, again into the world to do what they're doing, which is so necessary to bring peace and healing. And often healing is not necessarily the cure of something, as many people think, but the release of something, the release of a judgment, the release of an anguish. And of course, it can be a physical thing, but we're all in this life together. So what is so important is that we're banding together in many different ways to help humanity see that we're a part of one tribe. We're one tribe.
We're one voice for all. And we have to understand that our love reaches many, many people when we can stay in our heart. To me, if I were to leave you with anything of hope, is to bring the prayer back, bring the goodness of thought, and come together once again.
Yes, and so please, for those of you that have questions, you know, please feel free to contact me. My email is egrohman55@gmail.com, and I can relay any questions, answers to you for Grandmother Sasa, or please go to her website, theroseandtheswan.org. But in our metropolitan Detroit area, we're doing a tremendous amount of work to try to help people that we don't realize are suffering and have suffered long before this coronavirus, that maybe don't have the resources, that are perhaps people that are fostering children that don't have the resources, and many people are saying, can you help me now? Can you help me now? So, Grandmother Sasa, I want to thank you so much for the tremendous gift this time has been together for you and I, and Sweet Flo, who is always with us as Grandmother Sasa's wonderful assistant and helper and student. And what we need to recognize is, you know, there's great wisdom out there, but we have to quiet our mind and quiet our bodies so that this wisdom can be employed by our bodies, by our minds, by our spirits, and really understand what's of value right now and what we're looking at as human beings. So is there any last thing you'd like to say, Grandmother Sasso? We have about a minute left.
Thank you for the honor of coming. I send my love of my heart and prayers out to the people, because that's the best I can do, is pray for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, that, you know, you have the great gift of seeing energy so beautifully, and it really does move like a wave from the heart of the prayer in all directions, like beams of light. And that helps to raise your vibration. So your vibration, if you think of your own atoms, they have to move. And they have to move in a particular velocity for whatever it is that their particular role is, whether that's your digestion, beating your heart, allowing you to think, allowing you to see. All of those vibrations bring harmony, just like the symphony of music brings harmony. There is not one single tone. There's many tones that make a beautiful sound, and that sound is called life. Make sure that you understand that your vibration is required and needed here to bring harmony to all the earth. Here at Earth Wisdom Circles and Empower Radio, that is our intention and our goal, to help you to know how important you truly are. Thank you.